Well, good morning and welcome to the Firm Foundation Christian Church. We are beginning a new sermon series in the first epistle of Peter. And our text this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 9, which reads, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's put our text in context. We'll begin reading in the first verse of Peter's first epistle. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So this epistle was written by the Apostle Peter to the elect Christian believers. Peter begins by building up believers, focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the capstone of our hope, the capstone doctrine of the Christian faith. He writes of the permanence of salvation of the faithful and the power of God in his ability to keep his, quote, elect. These truths are good cause to rejoice, even as we go through life's fiery trials. By faith, we know that Jesus Christ, who has begun a good work in us, will indeed complete it. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Scripture itself teaches that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is inspired. And we have in our text two inspired words in particular, which we shall focus on. The first is faith. The second, salvation. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I've often heard people say, if Jesus were to come down and walk among us today, then I would believe in him. And to this I respond, he tried that, and it didn't work then, and I would not suppose that it would work now. Faith is a belief, a confident trust in a sure hope. Christian faith is a belief, a confident trust in a sure hope in the work and promises of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. His work was his sacrificial death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his promises are many. But with respect to the gospel, he promises the faithful everlasting life and abiding presence. Christian faith is not blind faith. Rather, it is a reasonable faith based upon objective, historically validated facts, the greatest of which is the resurrection. Now, if there were several eyewitnesses to a particular thing in history, say that Abraham Lincoln did, and they all wrote these things down in various books, would anybody question them? But yet, when many witnessed the resurrected Christ after he had suffered, died, and been laid in the tomb, why do so many question the testimony of the great cloud of witnesses who testified to these things? Christianity is unique above all other faiths, in that the God whom we worship, the God who saves us, died for us, yet lives, and he is a divine person and a divine Savior. Faith in Jesus brings great benefits to the faithful now, if indeed we choose to exercise our faith. Are you experiencing a trial in your life? Are you at a crossroads? Do you wonder if there is a way out or a solution to your problems? In God's Word, we have answers. In God's Word, we have examples. You're not the first one to go through this type of trial, and surely you won't be the last. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, which is often called the Hebrews Hall of Faith, that by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to what? Faith. And again, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine that trial? That would be like if we received an inheritance in South County and we actually had to go to a place not knowing if it even existed so far from Woonsocket. And yet, we're called to go in blind faith. Abraham, again, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who has received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And here we get a little insight into the mind of Abraham, the kind of faith that Abraham had. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And then there's Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And as Christians, we're all faced with that choice, right? There's the easy way, the easy road, where we can try to thread the needle, you know? Try to keep one foot in the world, one foot in God's Word. When we do that, we inevitably end up falling into the world for the pull and sway of the evil one is great indeed. So Moses had a decision to make. It may not have been the hard way, it may not have been the easy way, speaking from an earthly perspective. But the Bible also says that the way of the unfaithful is hard. And in the end, it leads to consequences which could have been avoided if we did it God's way the first time. Consider examples of faith in the New Testament. When it seemed as if the apostles would all drown, Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" And then he calmed the storm. This is a lesson that Peter learned really, really well. So much so that we find him writing about it here. Consider the Apostle Paul, who endured beatings, shipwrecks, imprisonment, various forms of persecution, just because he professed that Jesus was the Messiah. And he did this knowing that there was an end of it all. That the end of his faith was eternity with God. He considered earthly conveniences as nothing compared to the heavenly promises and the glory that God had in store for him in the end. And knowing this, his heart yearned for others. So much so that at great cost to himself, he did everything he could to spread God's great and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider the perfect man who had perfect faith. Consider the composure of our Lord Jesus Christ under pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the trial that he had to face. And yet, with perfect faith, with perfect composure, he was able to stick through it until the end, knowing that God is a rewarder of the faithful in the end. Salvation. Salvation is the end of your faith. We have it on good authority. It's in God's Word. For by grace you have been saved through faith. We don't work for our salvation. We receive God's salvation as His free and good gift to us. Salvation has three aspects: past, present, in future. The past aspect of salvation is justification. You are declared just in God's eyes on the basis of Christ's work alone. When does this happen? The hour you first believe. And it is once for all. It is as good as done. The believer passes from death into life. the believer passes from the state of condemnation into the state of justification before the Almighty. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who believe, those who are in Christ Jesus. Then there is the present aspect of salvation. This is what we're experiencing now. And this is what gets us through life storms. This is the continuing work of God in the life of the believer. Daily discipleship in which the Christian is called to work out their own salvation. We're not called to work for our own salvation. We're called to work it out in time as hopefully we become daily more and more conformed into His image to the degree that we allow. We do this with fear and trembling, with a healthy respect for God, knowing that if we obey His commands, the Lord will surely reward us with spiritual blessings, and that if we persist in our sinful ways, though a child of God, we shall surely fall into divine discipline. Then there is the future aspect of salvation. This is glorification. This is what Peter is talking about when he talks about an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for God's elect. All three aspects are part and parcel of the reality of Christian salvation. Christian, be greatly encouraged. God will take care of keeping your salvation. You didn't do anything to earn your salvation. God gave it to you as a gift. You can no more unearn your salvation than you could earn it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So God will take care of keeping your salvation. You take care of keeping your faith. For it is written, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" Talking about believers here. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword, as it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And as it's written in another place, we love Him because He first loved us. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing." That's everything. I don't think Paul missed anything there. "Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." These promises are blessed promises to believers. Unbelieving friend, skeptic, a word, be greatly awakened to your urgent need. For you have neither faith nor salvation. How can you have salvation if that's the end of faith and you have not faith that when Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified, buried, and rose again, that he did all these things for you? What will you do when the trial comes? Indeed, it is coming. For man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. What will you do when your soul is required of you? For it is appointed unto all men to die once, and after this, the judgment. There's no salvation after the grave. There's no passing from here to there. We get one shot, and only one. What will you do in the appointed day? God loves you enough to make the way for you. Jesus paid it all. The road to salvation is acquired by faith, entered unto by faith, and paved with the blood of the Savior. And it's the road that is the desire of God that all men travel. I pray that the Lord opens up your heart to enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ in faith, that today, even today, you might receive salvation. The end of your faith. Thank you, God, for this great salvation that you've so freely provided and you so freely offer. Lord God, if there are any here this morning, or listening to this message by some means, who has not faith, that these things might be seriously considered, that we might pray together after this manner. Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe that you died, paid the penalty for my sins, which had separated me from my Creator. That you rose again from the grave. And that in believing, I humbly ask that you might save my soul this morning. Having done this, I urge you, profess your faith before God. Lord, may your anointing be upon the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.